Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 4th of January. 24. I'm not sure if I'm surprised it's January or 24 or you.
Oh, thank
Billy
you.
Hounsell's here.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that.
Well, that would be, you showed up.
I usually show up.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Most times. We're in the category of sports and leisure. I know you're long suit and
very nice.
Leisure side.
Very nice. Leisure. Come on.
Yeah. Let's see. Is there a leisure one? I skipped over one because it's kind of a dorky question.
Okay. Just lay it out there.
Why in sports does the home team wear white while the visitors wear darker colors?
Because they have their washing machines readily
available.
That's
why I'm thinking laundry.
Yes.
Early television was in black and white, and definition wasn't nearly as precise as it is today. When the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or CBC, was testing for live hockey broadcast in 1952, they found that if both teams wore their traditional colors, it was impossible to tell them apart. They solved the problem by having the home team wear white while the visitors stayed with their darker uniforms. TV.
Yeah, TV made it happen. Jeez.
That's not...
Yeah.
I should have previewed that one.
You should have. That's a letdown. It wasn't a better explanation.
Yeah, I thought... I like the laundry machine thing, too.
Yeah.
Jeez. So, you've got a couple of... I guess today, you'll have a couple newbies at the table when the Chiefs get together, huh?
Yeah, we have two new Chiefs in the county. Bart Silvers for Arcata and Brian Stevens for Eureka. And I believe Chief Stevens gets sworn in today. There's a change of command ceremony today at 3 p.m. at Sequoia Conference Center. And
you're going to be there?
I will be there. Me and my command staff will be there and support Chief Stevens.
They said there was no food.
Well, that's
you
okay.
Sure you're going to be there?
We'll be there. It's 3 o'clock, so.
Well, maybe it is close to Luis's. Maybe he has a stroll next door.
I can always bring in a granola bar.
Yeah.
Coffee, whatever it is.
Oh, you're on that New Year's resolution thing still?
Yeah. New Year, new me? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah. Versus New Year, new more of me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. Don't you love those?
Oh, not granola bars, no.
No, but the New Year's resolutions, right?
Yeah, see how long they last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really tell people,
I guess I got to come up with one.
Because people are going to hold you to it. You start advertising that.
Well, that's the concept.
Yeah.
You share, and then you have to stick to it.
Yeah. Or you get shamed come February, which is likely what happens.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, we have heard that the governor is potentially going to be presenting his proposed new budget for next year, next week.
That
is your heart
right
going
pitter
patter on this one?
It is not. I mean, the state budget has been a roller coaster over the last 3 years, and how you were billions of dollars in the surplus, and now you're billions of dollars in debt or whatever it is. I don't know. It's just up and down, up and down, and I just don't know how you're not forecasting these kind of events financially when you're, the governor of the fifth largest economy in the world.
We're playing it that tight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can do all the forecasting, but there's always a buffer.
I'm just still surprised that the state continues to spend money like it has. Like it has. Absolutely. They continuously spend more and more money. More and more programs are happening in the state. And,
So the Medi-Cal for the illegals?
All that stuff.
Kind of
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just not, I don't see how they can continue down that road and be financially responsible. You have these small counties throughout California that are just struggling financially to try and keep up. Look at Humboldt County. We continuously go after more money from our tax base because our roads are failing. Public safety, doesn't have enough money. Fire doesn't have enough money. So we keep going back to our voters saying, increase our sales tax, increase utility tax, whatever it may be, as the reason to fill those gaps in the budget that always people want, right? They're always going to want public safety. You're always going to want better roads.
The base.
And so the politicians point to that and say, we need more. Instead of making some hard decisions, and so let's get back to what we're supposed to be funding, and let's start there. Let's get good at that, and then we can.
Yeah, zero-based budget would be an interesting concept, starting with what are the core things, and then the add-ons.
That's right.
My fear with this, and I don't know if it's grounded, but I think there's some wrinkles somewhere that say that experience this has happened before, is that because he wants to play on the national level, he's going to balance the budget, or at least he will submit a balanced budget.
Oh, he will.
But he will step aside and push a lot of the financial responsibility and the responsibilities to the counties.
Yes.
He's done it before.
It's already happening.
Then he can claim that the budget is balanced and you guys take a pounding.
Right. And yet state programs continue to expand. You look at the Department of Justice, you know, in my view, Department of Justice, you know, continues to get larger and larger. California Office of Emergency Services continues to get larger and larger. Instead of, again, funneling those kind of resources back down to the county level, you know, the state level gets huge.
Oh, is that why I'm getting all those emails from state Cal OES?
Yes.
It's like, who are you? Oh, okay. I don't want to hack them off. That probably wouldn't be good.
Right.
But Cal OES. You look at it and you go, where did this come from?
Right. Yeah. California Office of Emergency Services is, you know, obviously a vital, you know, entity. But what they're doing is they're creating a huge bureaucracy within the state of California.
And redundant?
It can be, absolutely. You know, when we have our emergency, it's good to have that support from the state. You know, because when we have a major disaster, we're going to want to have state funding trickle back to the county to help support some of those emergency costs, and as well as federal funding. You know,
but funding is different than infrastructure with personnel.
Yes, yes, very true, very true. So instead of being those conduits, they're actually having boots on the ground and doing things that really our county should be doing. And instead of supporting us, they're being those kind of first responders. They're leaning in. You know, we're supposed to ask for help in these emergencies. We're in charge. I'm the director of the Office of Emergency Services here in the county. If I need help from the state, I'm supposed to ask the state, and the state's supposed to see what they can do and then bring down. What they're doing now is, since they have so many resources, they're leaning forward in a lot of these areas in emergency situations, and they're stepping into. Well, they're stepping into situations, and instead of like just waiting for the request for help, which complicates jurisdictional issues.
So who's in charge?
Exactly. And that's ultimately, you know, we're in charge here in our county, but, you know, the state wants to step in.
Yeah. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. So the budget is kind of this big, you know, something's coming up.
Yes.
But you don't know what.
Yeah. And the county budget, too. We're doing mid-year budget stuff as well.
Obviously, there's connections between the two.
For sure.
How does your budget look at midpoint? Is it about where you thought it would be?
Right now, yeah. We've really been cautious. And so we have not been... you know, we're looking at everything, you know, cutting back on overtime and things that we can cut over this last 6 months. We've done it in order to save money. And hopefully it transfers over to the next year, because the county outlook is not well. And it's been forecasted that, you know, unless there's going to be some changes here, that, you know, in the next couple of years, there may be some cuts. And so though I think things are looking better at this point in time, as it was, you know, when we analyzed things 6 months ago, it wasn't looking as good as it is now. There's still some cuts that need to be made.
Driven by what? Why the
declining
why
sales tax? Declining sales tax.
So that's kind of bottomed out a little bit?
Yep. Measure S revenue obviously is no longer there. So Measure S, you know, brought in, you know, millions of dollars to the county. And sales tax.
That's the marijuana permitting?
That was marijuana permitting money, and that was $10-plus million a year. And then sales tax, you know.
Now, wasn't that pulled back for a finite period of time?
It was, and then they decided to charge, I think, only like 10% of what the original value was. And again, it was all based on square feet. Outdoor was $1 per square foot, mixed light was $2, and indoor was $3 a square foot. And so that's what your tax was for the year. And
that was for the producers themselves?
That's for the growers. Yep. The growers that those were taxed.
So that change, was that a permanent or was that for 2 years and we'll revisit it?
I think it was just a temporary relief for the next couple of years. And so we'll see how that goes. I mean, there's still people that haven't paid their tax that was originally on the book. So there's still millions of dollars that the county needs to collect.
And they're permitted.
And they're still permitted, yes.
Normally when something like that happens, either you get the knock on the door or you lose the ability.
Yes, absolutely.
You're not code enforcement.
That's right.
We're not
going to go and do search warrants because someone didn't pay their taxes. However, county can pull back. I mean, it's just like your registration, right? If you don't pay your registration, you're going to walk around with a car that could be towed if it lapses 6 months.
Well, the county's not going to repossess.
No, but what they can do is they can pull the permit. They can pull the permit. If you don't have a local permit, you can't have a state permit.
That does what?
And that triggers an illegal operations. If you don't have a permit,
okay, then so what?
And then you get a search warrant, you know, from us.
And then
you get busted and you get taken to jail and all your plants removed. Yes.
So you actually would potentially serve time?
No. No one serves time for marijuana anymore, unless it's an environmental violation, and even that, those felonies oftentimes are served in county jail, or it's probation.
So far, we've gone through about 8 stages here, and there's no personal discomfort.
The accountability comes from the fines and the product being seized. And so, you know, when you hit them in the pocketbook, that's the motivation for them to come into compliance with the law.
So, is it too simplistic to think that a couple of phone calls saying, look, you're out of compliance, you're in arrears, we need X by this time or figure out a payment plan, or you're going to get shut down?
That is up to the county. Absolutely. I feel like that's
who handles code enforcement in this arena.
No, it would be the policy. It would be policy from the CAO's office and the Board of Supervisors. So that's how.
So who gets to do the do?
So once the policy comes down that their permit is going to be removed, then it becomes a code enforcement issue and a law enforcement issue at that point in time. But the tax collector has to, you know, they have to come up with that policy with the Board of Supervisors.
That's the linchpin.
To say, listen, yep, they're not paying their taxes. It lapsed 6 months, so they should, you know.
Gee, I feel bad about not paying property tax by the day it's due, not by the day it's late.
Right.
These guys are years in arrears?
Years. Yep.
Good, you can use that phrase. It's kind of like almost poetic.
In the rears, yes.
No, not in the rears. In arrears.
Oh, gotcha.
You do the other, and you're going to get funny looks, man.
Gotcha.
Well, we made it almost halfway through before Dad got
some
a phrase.
Innuendo. Absolutely.
But you know, it seems like everything else that we've talked about, there's no repercussion for the actions that are being taken.
Right.
Whether it's shoplifting.
Right.
Or some other things that are used to be.
Personal accountability. We can't be caught up in the minutia of someone's excuses, why they can't do something, why they're violating the law. It's like if they're violating the law or policy or procedure, there's got to be some accountability. If you don't, then why is anyone else paying the tax? Why is anyone else saying, you know, why are we asking our biggest growers, okay.
Why bother to tax?
Why bother to tax if you're not going to enforce it, right? The word gets out.
How many dollars are associated with a lack of payment?
I think it's close to $10 million.
What's the deficit?
Structured deficits in the $10 million range, I would say.
Kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, somebody say that would kick the can down the road 1 year.
But still,
but it's one more
better
year
than cuts, right?
To come up with an idea or for the economy to come back.
That's right. We're not going to say we're going to shut down a department or we're going to eliminate rural patrols because we're not collecting our taxes.
Or.
Right.
Yeah. Gee, well, we solved that one today.
Jeez, there you go. Easy.
I wonder if any of the five are listening.
Oh, they always are. Come on.
Okay. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Tired of the politics? You just want to be the guy with the gun and the badge and, you know, putting the bad guys away?
I do. I don't want to be the guy that gets up there and beats the drum, you know, but I feel like I have to be the voice of reason at times, you know, with the state and local government. I mean, sometimes we're... You know, I think we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're not thinking about big picture enough. And you know, I kind of want to bring common sense to the table. And if I'm not saying it, then who's going to say it? You know, we have a state government that continues to, you know, regulate the law abiding and making more laws for the law abiding. The CCW stuff is a perfect example.
Yeah, I was going to ask about where that one came out of.
It's absolutely crazy because
it's going to get thrown out.
Well, you would think, but it's still
Second Amendment.
Right. The Bruin decision came down in New York, basically saying that, you know, a CCW holder, you know, doesn't have to establish their reason why they want it. Right. There's the good cause thing, which a lot of the states had. It's like, why do you have it? Then it was up to each jurisdiction, like myself, the sheriffs in the jurisdiction, determined whether or not that was a good enough cause for them to have a CCW. For me, it was like, hey, demonstrate that you obviously can pass all those things, and just what is your reason?
Can you shoot straight? Okay, you're out far enough away.
Personal safety, rural environment, you know, carry cash. I mean, all those things are reasons why someone would want it. Also, personal protection. We in Humboldt County, we have 8 deputies that are working at any given time. We have 4,000 square miles. We can't cover every possible angle. And if someone wants a CCW and they are a law-abiding citizen that can possess a firearm, they should be allowed to hold a firearm. So what the state did, instead of like just being reasonable on this, they were upset that the good cause was taken away, and now they want to regulate CCW holders. Like, we're the problem. And our Attorney General, Rob Bonta, gave this whole diatribe in the law about how guns are bad. And he made this gun argument and how the gun violence has gone sky high in California, but it had nothing to do with CCW holders. And they're regulating CCW holders. They're not regulating guns in this legislation, SB2. They're regulating CCW holders. We do not have problems with CCW holders. We have problems with felon in possession of firearms. We have a problem with ghost guns being manufactured, you know, and shipped
those printers
and shipped in from Mexico and that kind of thing. We have issue with illegal guns coming in, and yet we have new gun laws that prevent, you know, certain guns from being purchased. You know, ammunition, you know, you have to have your ID to purchase ammunition anymore. And then there's going to be a new 11% tax on all firearms and ammunition come July. And so again, the people that are abiding by all the rules, we're paying the consequences for failed policy, you know, when it comes to gun violence. You know, they still...
Or no accountability for people paying attention to the rules.
Right. Again,
which seems to be a common theme here so far this morning.
We've talked about this before. Felon in possession of a firearm. They don't go to prison. It's like if you're a felon and you possess a firearm for one reason or another and you get caught... You know, you should automatically go to prison for 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it may be. If you're that concerned about gun violence, then the people that shouldn't have guns, they should be held to the highest accountability here and send them to prison for having a gun. Right now, they may do county jail time if they get convicted, and it's maybe a year, and then you're going to do half of that because it's half time, and then that's that.
So this is the AG?
The Attorney General hates guns, and so they've decided that to take on the guns, they got to take on the lawful gun owners, and so they're highly regulated CCWs to SB2. So essentially, they've banned, made it a law that they can't hold a CCW and go into restaurants or commercial establishments or venues that, you know, concert venues or those kind of things, and. You know, like that's the problem.
It sounds like it's more the urban setting in big town USA where they're having people hold up businesses or threaten people
right.
because there's no accountability and they don't go to jail.
Right, right.
Hmm.
So now people have
to... Do they limit what you have on your hip?
No, they don't.
So you can have whatever.
Yes.
And the troops can have whatever.
Yes. Yep. So they don't regulate us, or we're exempt. Law enforcement, right, is exempt from it. But, you know, it's still, you know, we're constantly under scrutiny. Again, we had another year of law changes, and there's very few laws that actually help, you know, law enforcement. Mostly help the criminals, you know, by reduced sentences or making it more difficult on law enforcement. And you just kind of question, it's like, do we see things getting better here in California? Do we see things improving as far as crime? Crime is going up. Violent crime is up in a lot of parts of the state. So what are we doing to prevent that?
Some of those national statistics is going up through the roof.
Right.
Now all of a sudden there's discussion about instead of defunding and not refunding, but more funding.
Right.
Gee, cause and effect.
Right.
It seems like that simple concept seems to be lost.
It's lost. But then, you know, again, the state and the federal government love to do this. They love to throw money at problems, but they have strings attached to it. You know, fentanyl or, you know, so what they'll do is they'll say, hey, listen, we want to help you with the fentanyl crisis. We're going to give you, you know, enough money for a half position, or we're going to pay for this or that. And it's like, if you want to help out with the crime issue, why don't you give us more money in our general fund budget so we can hire more people? And so we can, you know, so we can do the things that we need to do instead of, you know, just having these heavily regulated grants and that kind of thing that's only for a short period of time. It doesn't help.
There was an article. Gosh, I need to start jotting these things down so at least I can reference the sources.
Yeah.
That was talking about how government tends to act. It's about process. We've given money. Additional positions for that problem that you just addressed.
Right.
Not we are solving the situation or the situation is being diminished because of what we did. It's the initial action that is focused on, and everybody goes away feeling warm and fuzzy.
Right.
Instead of wondering how it ends up. So like your half-time position for fentanyl. Well, geez, you know, you've got a fentanyl officer now.
Right. Why isn't the problem taken care of?
Yeah, and that's it. There's no even follow up to see if the problem is being addressed.
No,
or if there's been any solution, or if this was the right way to address it. They just throw some money at it and say, "See, it's in process.
Right,
it's in progress."
See,
and nobody holds that accountability that we're saying is missing in a lot of these areas.
Right,
isn't there?
Right.
You know, you have documentation up the wall, but not is it addressing the problem?
That's right. So, you know, we look at the politicians, we look at, you know, state government, and they just continuously want to address the issues and problems as of today, whatever those things are. You know, like we talked about before, CHP. CHP's gotten a lot of funding for retail theft, and so they have a task force now.
What does that have to do with speeding?
It doesn't, but this is the state police. This is the governor's, you know, law enforcement agency. And so to deal with the organized retail theft throughout the state, what he did was he created a task force. And would that task force involve local government? No, it involves CHP. CHP has a dozen members that are going around and trying to address retail theft. That has nothing to do with traffic. That has nothing to do with their primary mission. But they're going to go around and now the governor can say, I'm dealing with the retail theft, organized retail theft. I have a task force. Same thing with fentanyl. He's done the same thing there with CHP. And I'm not slamming the California Highway Patrol. They're awesome. They're great people, and they're going to do what they need to do. Right? They have orders from the governor. But I would just love the governor and the state to say, we want to create, you know, regional task force to take on these missions and help pay the local governments. You know, we have a drug task force here in Humboldt County, and I would love for the state to recognize that you know, if fentanyl is that big of a deal, then they should fund each of our deputies and officers from all of our departments to be a part of that task force, and we can be a part of a bigger mission in the state. The state had a Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement 10 years ago.
Kind of like OES?
Yeah, well, kind of like that.
Kind of.
I think 2008, Bureau of Narcotics Enforcement went away here in the state. It was a department under Department of Justice. And these B&E task forces were all throughout the state, and they connected with local governments, and they helped run our local task force. They were in charge of our local drug task force.
So rather than going back to something that was successful, they decided to try to reinvent a different approach?
Yes, they did. It's frustrating. So we would love to get back there. We would love to have a coordinated effort throughout the state, you know, and even the DOJ could be in charge of like they did before, but have everyone involved in it.
So is the state sheriff's association not strong enough to push something like that back?
We try, but we don't have the big voice that anymore.
Who does?
It just seems like in this state that it's the governor and his political party that is in charge.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:50. We're back talking shop a couple minutes with Billy Hansel. What are your canaries for this year, bud?
Well, budget's always going to be a big thing. And so right now we're looking at mid-year. It's going to tell us where we're going to be come next year. And so we're looking at that.
A couple weeks?
Yeah, a couple weeks down the road. And then Measure Z is going to be discussed here in the next month. So we're going to talk a lot about, you know, funding positions and where we're going to be. You know, right now our staffing level is, you know, we're having issues.
Adequate?
No, not now. Our jail staffing is not adequate. And so we're always recruiting. You know, it's never too late if you want to have a public safety job to join, Brian. You know, you can leave radio and come work in the jail. And it's a great rewarding career.
You have a budget deficit now. Once you pay for the station and then you have me as a jailer, then we'll talk.
It's a correctional deputy. It's a profession.
Oh,
so come on,
yeah,
not a jailer.
Okay.
So
it's not
anyway,
a jailer anymore.
Not a jailer. It's a correctional deputy. So,
well I guess a jailer is better than a prisoner.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
See, it's I know a little bit.
Yeah, but it is a great job, and we're looking for people to jump on that public safety position. So,
any of the new laws that came in going to cause any trepidation?
You know, the one thing that really bothers me is there's a new law about marijuana. So when you're an employer, you can ask people about their use of drugs and alcohol and that kind of thing. Well, this year they passed a law that basically said, again, this is our legislature, that said we can no longer ask if people smoke marijuana prior to, you know, joining the sheriff's office. And then
you can
also
do a drug screening?
We can know if they're addicted to drugs, and we can ask, are you addicted to, you know, marijuana or controlled substance?
Well, but recreational confesses that during the interview process.
I know. I'm telling you, this is, and so the only people that are exempt in California from asking this, or required, I should say, to talk about marijuana use is construction workers. So construction workers still can't use marijuana and be employed as a construction worker in the state of California. All other professions, nurses,
like,
doctors.
Like a house builder? Or are you
yes,
talking about high-rise?
Construction, that's, yes. Anyone in construction trades.
So not bus drivers?
Nope, not bus drivers, nothing. Now, they say you can't report to work, you know, under the influence, but we know how marijuana acts, and, you know, the duration in your system, you can test positive for days after using marijuana, and we don't know if you're under the influence. So now law enforcement, essentially, the state has said, can use marijuana and still show up to work, as long as they're, quote, not under the influence. So that is one thing that bothers me.
So you're going to give them like an eye test coming through or retinal scan or something?
Well, we determine if, you know, someone's on the influence. Like someone shows up and we can smell alcohol on them. It's the same thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's pretty obvious.
Right. But my concerns are, you know, for anyone that gets into a traffic accident and they cause injury or death, they could be looked at as a DUI and they could be taken their blood. And if there's marijuana in their system, that they could be charged for DUI, no matter how.
How about an officer shooting?
Officer-involved shooting, exactly. Another good example.
And now there's some goofy.
Yes. So all those things, you know, are problematic. And our legislature did not do us any favors by not backing up law enforcement when our request was, please exempt law enforcement and construction workers, you know, from this law. And they didn't do that. And so I think they're just setting law enforcement up for failure again. So that's one thing that's concerning.
Apparently.
Yes.
Well, make sure you don't get behind in your payments.
Okay. Yes. Thank you, sir.
Said differently, it's just as clear.
Yes.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.
See you, Brian.